This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. To talk to Brian, Jeff, or Vic, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Jaguars This Week is also sponsored by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and the Jacksonville Transportation Group. This is your exclusive home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. The senior editor is here, Vic Ketchman. And you can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. An hour of Jaguars and NFL conversation with you. I should not fail to mention that the Philly Flyer is in the house this evening. What time's the game?
8 o'clock.
All right. You'd be planted in front of it?
I will be.
They better get one tonight.
No, yeah.
They're going to win tonight. It was a great game. Last game was a great game.
You got me?
He's focused on the game.
Okay.
Nice to see you tonight, Joe. Wearing his Philly
Flyer. Sure.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for showing up.
I was at Deer Creek last week.
How many years old is that Flyer shirt you got on?
Maybe five.
I was going to say, it's got a little age to it, but I like it.
But he's got shirts in his closet that date to the 70s.
So, oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a relative youngster.
It's got the Long John look, you know, like,
Long John with short sleeves.
In the rink in the cold.
Joe Fortunato, folks, the star of the show in the summer.
There you go.
Anything to say before we kick the show off?
Let's go Flyers.
All right. And here we go.
hopefully the Flyers will win because the Phillies just got swept.
Wait, Phillies just had a perfect game, too, Halliday.
You know why
you've had some excitement in your hometown.
They won that game on an error. The center fielder misjudged a fly ball, went over his head, and they got a run, and that's how they won, 1-0.
Wow. Harvey Haddix would have loved that.
That would have gone extra innings. Has anybody done that before? Do you can remember?
What?
Pitched a perfect game longer than 9 innings?
What was Haddix, 12 or 13? 12 innings.
Okay.
Yeah. He went. Haddix lost his perfect game, I think, in the 12th inning. Although
that's gotta hurt.
He actually, the score is tainted because Joe Adcock hit a home run with Henry Aaron on base and passed Aaron, who thought that because the ball went out of
something like that
and passed him on the base pad. So one run was deducted. It's actually, the score isn't as it would appear, but I know he went into extra innings with a perfect game.
Your Cardinals are in first place.
Who's Cardinals?
Your Cardinals.
I'm from St. Louis, but I don't follow
That's
baseball.
Where the Cardinals are from.
I know, but I don't follow baseball.
You're not a Royals fan.
No. Yeah, no, I knew that. I've been to the new Busch Stadium, by the way. Have you
seen that? I have not. All I know about the Cardinals is it's one of the great baseball franchises in baseball.
The Rams
it's
don't matter.
Fabulous.
The Rams don't matter. Cardinals football never mattered. It is a baseball town.
It is a baseball town. There's no question.
There is no doubt about it. Even the Blues don't matter. Sorry, hockey fan.
Speaking of towns, last week me and Vic had talked about the New Jersey New York Super Bowl. Did you see what the politicians out of New Jersey have started saying this week?
New Jersey,
they're not very happy about this call being called a New York Super Bowl. And I understand that. It's a New Jersey Super Bowl.
Man, who the hell wants to call it a New Jersey Super Bowl? I mean,
that's what it is.
I mean, with all due respect to Joe's wife's feelings, I mean, come on, Linda. I mean, you know, it's not as though those people are going to suffer from an inferiority, a new inferiority complex they've lived with all their lives. There is no New Jersey. There's New York and there's Philadelphia. South Jersey is Philadelphia. North Jersey is New York. Am I right, Joe?
Yes.
It's a state without a name. It's just two markets. Pretty big markets, too.
How can New Jersey complain about this when the teams are already called the New York Jets and the New York Giants?
Right, exactly.
Well, I don't know.
Fix that first.
They complained about that in the past. I mean, that's not anything new.
You know, this commissioner has had a very bold short runs to date. I mean, this is his Super Bowl. He pushed us through. God forbid that they get 3 feet of snow and the planes can't land. All right. to bring them in or get them out.
Well, they got 2 weeks to get them in there. They'll be fine. They'll find a way.
I'm not just talking about the players, the teams. I'm about the fans.
The fans, yeah.
All right. He's also the guy.
That's small potatoes compared to the millions of people that'll be watching on television.
He's also the guy that more or less redesigned the Pro Bowl, turned it into a OTA. Seriously.
It's always been that way.
Not that bad. This year was just, I mean, the defensive ends might as well have just knelt at the snap of the ball, stayed there, you know.
Yeah, but it's always been that way.
Okay. Let's see, what
else? His personal conduct policy.
Yeah. I mean, he's been bold. Yeah. He's been bold.
I think he's been good.
Okay. How about CBA that
was that him or is that Tag?
Oh, no. That this is his.
Is it his?
This is his. I mean, he gave it to Tagliabue. He's the author. He's the creator.
But he didn't have his name on it.
He didn't have his name on it. Tagliabue took the rap on it, but it's his CBA.
Will.
I mean, he's had a rather bold start, and he's going to push through an 18-game season.
I don't know about that. See, the he's backed off of that.
Okay, and he's almost certain, from what I understand, to push through this two-point stance stuff. If he gets an 18-game season, they say you can count on 2 point stance.
He's not going to get that.
Well, before he can get to an 18-game season or get to that, he has to get through labor. And, I mean, ultimately, no matter what he's done to this point.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot.
That's
he made a big, big mistake on this one. This is the King Kong. I mean, he's going to have trouble living this one down.
Okay.
You don't let a hat company kick your butt in the Supreme Court. You make that go away. You settle that before it becomes a precedent-setting court case. American Needle. I mean, come on. You know, the NFL does not get its butt kicked by a company, hat company named American Needle.
9-0. There aren't many
9-0
Supreme
Court decisions.
That was a mistake.
You have to admit, that was a mistake. Those people should have been paid off. I mean, how many hats do you have to sell to make $2 million? Yeah, here, write him a check for $2 million. Make this go away.
Yeah. The problem is, if you do that, then don't you have every other apparel maker in the country coming back? I mean, someone's going to
I don't
file
care
a suit.
What. And this one had to be made to go away because this one hurts. This one, there's not going to be a lockout. Let me put it that way.
We're going to get this thing solved then. Well, because the players.
There's a lot of people that, you know, that, I mean, the American Needle case wasn't exactly front page news.
No, it wasn't.
You know, so
it is now.
So there's a lot of people out there that don't understand what the American Needle case was. Give people a layman's version of what the American Needle case was and what happened.
The NFL has a contract with Reebok to supply equipment to all of the teams in the league. What that contract did was prevent this hat company called American Needle to compete with Reebok.
To buy a license and make NFL licensed apparel.
Exactly. In other words, it was the contract with Reebok was guilty of antitrust.
Yes.
So the Supreme Court ruled that the NFL is not one entity. It is 32 different entities, and each team should be allowed to negotiate its own hat contract. Correct?
Correct. Basically, what the NFL has grown towards is saying we are one entity with 32 locations.
Okay, now what that means is, as it pertains to this new CBA, is that the feeling, at least, is that this ruling will forbid the NFL from negotiating a labor agreement for all of its teams. In other words, they're all going to have to negotiate their own deals with their own players. You got it? Which would open up those teams and the league to an avalanche of antitrust claims. And the league doesn't want that. So it's going to have to ask the players' union to please play ball with us. And the Players Association will be most willing to play ball with the NFL. In other words, the Players Association got some serious leverage with this American Needle case. It should not have been allowed, in my opinion, to have come to judgment. It should have been settled.
Well, Mr. Pash, who works for the league,
Jeffrey Pash,
said that has no bearing on labor.
Well, maybe he's right, and I'm wrong. I'm just giving you my opinion.
The ultimate outcome of the American needle case and how it impacts labor has yet to be determined because both sides are viewing it through a different prism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're looking at it completely differently, how the union intends to use this as a lever and how the NFL intends to approach, which they haven't really indicated at all, approach their side of the labor negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is still, this is why I say, you can say anything you want about Goodell, but it's what he does from this point forward now that's going to cement his legacy.
I think it's going to be tough to take the low road, to take the hard road in negotiations.
You open yourself up.
I just think a lockout is going to be very, very difficult for the NFL to pull off now. I don't think they can take that hard stance because of this American Needle ruling.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Football on tap this evening. Jaguars This Week rolls along right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here. Look, we don't want to make it a legal show this evening, A, because none of the four of us are strong legal minds. But I do want to point out something, because there is enough of a cloud over how this thing is going to roll out. And go back to the Act of Congress in 1961, the Sports Blackout Act of 61, which allowed the NFL, which was at that point, 16 teams?
When?
61? It was either 12 or 16
12 or 16.
Teams.
The Vikings came in.
It was 12 because they started adding teams in 61.
Yes. Cowboys came in 60, then the Vikings came, then the Saints came, and then the Falcons came.
Okay,
it was 12, and it went to 16.
Okay, so in 1961, Congress passed an act that allowed those 12 teams to pool their collective broadcast rights and then broker them to CBS.
Is that threatened now?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
well, we don't know. But
because that's the ruling was is they were one entity with 12 partners.
We live in a litigious society, in a litigious culture. I mean, we got attorneys stacked up on top of each other, just waiting to sue somebody, just waiting to dive in on something like this.
Right.
Why invite it?
Well,
give the hat company a few bucks and get them out of your hair, right?
I'm with you.
It's certainly, this will bear watching. I mean, most average fans are not going to sit and pay too much attention to this, but for guys like us who look at this league big picture, this is going to be very interesting over the next 12. Not just a hat company. Hey, not just for football. This will impact everything.
There's no question.
And baseball's antitrust protection
could go away. Look, the whole Pete Rozelle NFL, which is to say the best years in the NFL's history, was built on pool the revenue, share the wealth, league think. All right? One league with 32 franchises. One business with 32 outlets. Well, this challenges all of that.
But all of that has been changed anyway, well before this case, I believe.
No, how so?
Because you have such differences in franchise values, and where you have, you know, Bob McNair that paid an unbelievable price.
$600 million.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the new ownership.
Well, we had that before.
It's taken that away because of the value of the franchise have been so different.
The Cowboys paid a lot more for their franchise in 1960 than Art Rooney did for the Steelers in 1933 when he paid $2,500 for the franchise.
So it's all relative.
This is, in my opinion, something that didn't have to happen.
And what it eventually will become is still to be determined.
Who knows? Stay tuned.
All right, folks, let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's start across the river in Riverside, and we'll welcome Will to the show. Will, good evening.
Hey, fellas, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us.
Hey, I've been a fan since the beginning, inception of the team. I was a young teenager back then. I found myself fortunate in 2007 to finally become a season ticket holder, and up until now, that was the only year that I held tickets. Until just yesterday, I went ahead and bought season tickets again. I got locked in for 3 years. This past couple of years has been bad for my family. We had to consolidate with my mother, who almost lost her house. We were able to save it, thank goodness. But we have to do a lot of our friends have to do is consolidation. And I brought this up at a family meeting about buying season tickets, and I heard plenty of reasons for why we shouldn't buy tickets. You know, the economy, we don't know where things are going, this and that. And when they finally got down to the last excuse of maybe next year, I said, listen, if I'm right, you know, I've locked myself into a season ticket for 3 years at a great price with our hometown team. If I'm wrong, there may not be a next year. And I just want to share that with anybody out there who's thinking about pulling the trigger about buying season tickets. It's one of the best decisions you can make. It's your civic duty, and you need to get out there and buy some tickets. Also, one last thing I want to add, and I'll take your comments off the air. I'm really impressed with what they're doing down there. When I talk to the salesmen down there at season tickets, they really are excited about the team. They really are working hard to get those tickets sold. And he didn't even have to sell me. I was already sold, and he didn't know that. He did a great job at getting me a pair of great season tickets. That's all I have to say, folks. I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Great call.
Oh, my comments. I got one comment. Thanks. Thank you. I mean, this is a critical year. And when I hear stories, when stories such as these come to me and ask Vic, I think to myself, man, these people are digging down deep, and there's only one way to thank them. Win.
Well, last Wednesday, Joe, I was at Deer Creek for the My Team Teal, and there were 200, 250 people in the room, and you had people, regular people, season ticket holders, stepping to the front of the room to encourage their friends and their neighbors. They didn't have to be doing that. They certainly put themselves in a difficult situation by asking them to make a purchase. And yet, there were 250 people in the room dressed up and ready to go. That effort has been extraordinary.
I wrote a column this afternoon. It's up there now. The column is based on the fact that this is June 2nd. We are now in June, and there are 13,000 season. There are 13,000 tickets remaining for this team to beat the blackout.
And how many of those 13,000 are their group ticket sales?
Like a significant portion, okay. Yes. Not eight, it's like 6,000. So there's 7,000 that are the fans' responsibility and 6,000 that are the team's responsibility. Although I still think that factors into the blackout equation. If the team doesn't deliver, I still think that counts toward the blackout, right?
Yes.
All right. So the column is, let's not pat ourselves on the back so hard and so long that we forget that we're in June. We're 2 months away from the start of training camp. We're now closing on the preseason. We're closing on the point at which they start playing games, and these tickets count toward blackouts. So June is traditionally not a good ticket sales month. This is when schools let out and people tend to turn their thoughts toward vacations, family vacations, as they should. But July is a good sales month, and we're going to have a lot of butt that's going to have to be kicked in July to get this done.
Well, there are a lot of Team Teal events that are being put on the on the calendar for the month of June.
So
I was just having a conversation
with someone about that. I wrote this column, and I, painted a couple different pictures out there. Picture one is team gone. It's 20 years from now, and the team's gone. And picture two is it's 10 years from now, and the team is here, and they're defending Super Bowl champions. Which would you prefer?
All right, folks, we've got another half hour of this show, so stay with us or pick up the phone and join us. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-NFL-1. And remember, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Back after news on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Rolling right along here. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, and Joe Fortunato. 355-NFL-1. I think maybe our friend Will has started a little bit of a brush fire. He said,
and that's a good fire.
Civic duty to buy tickets, and now we've got Sam from the West Side.
Oh, we're not going to do tickets the rest of the night, please.
Okay, well, this will be our last ticketing call then. Sam, take the floor and make it a good call.
Guys, listen, Vic, this is just for you, sir. I want you to know this. I am a diehard Gator. I almost did not go back to buy tickets because of the fact of the draft. But after long thinking about it, and I've been a Jaguar fan since they started, and I've had season tickets, and I had to basically let them go because I couldn't afford them. but recently I was unemployed and got back my job. And here's the deal: I went back and bought the season tickets, and because I want to support my team. And the thing about it, I have not told my wife yet. So when I tell her, I hope one of you guys got a couch I can sleep on.
Do you want me to tell her?
That's great.
No.
Just give me your name and a phone number. I'll call her.
No way. Guess what? I'm taking her to see Tim Tebow, so she has to like it because she loves Tim Tebow. So she's getting to go for the first game.
Do you want to hear a fact? I believe this is a fact. So let me put it this way. I'll couch what I said. Do you want to hear what I think is a fact?
Go ahead.
All right. In the days immediately following the draft, and this includes the day of the draft, as of the day of the draft, when they didn't pick Tim Tebow, for the next 4 days, I believe, there's no real way to check this out, but people I talk to believe this is a fact, the Jaguars sold more tickets in that period of time than they have ever sold in their history in the same period of time. So all of this, you didn't draft Tim Tebow and you're not going to sell tickets, is baloney. They didn't draft Tim Tebow and they had the greatest rush of ticket sales in their history. That's a fact, I believe, I think.
Well, listen, I'm glad I'm back on board on this one because I sure, if there's a blackout, I sure don't want to miss it anymore.
You got it.
I like the team.
The best thing you said is
Sam,
you got a job.
Way to go. I'm glad you got a job. And best of luck telling your wife about the tickets.
Yeah, just give me your name. I'll call her. I'm good at these things. I'm very diplomatic.
Sam.
Do you remember the gentleman who called a couple of weeks ago?
Trust me, you don't want Vic telling your wife anything.
Bill from the South Side could argue against him on
What's
that
your name?
My name is Sam.
No, her name. What's your name?
Oh, her name is Liz.
I'll call you. Liz? Listen, I'm just going to make this short.
You're rolling tape on this?
You're going to the game on Sunday, and I don't want to hear another word about it.
Here you go.
Like I said, Sam, you don't want him talking to Liz.
Yeah, you might want to handle that rodeo all by yourself, cowboy.
I got you covered, guys. Thanks a lot, though.
Thank you very much.
Great show.
Thank you, Sam.
355-NFL-1. We've got Mac on the north side. Hello, Mac. How are you tonight?
Yeah, y'all guys open up. You're talking about St. Louis. And I thought about St. Louis is a baseball town. They got three teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about New York. New York goes for itself. You know, like Baselli said in the meeting, you always want Jacksonville in front of Jaguars. It's more than football. It's pride. Before the Jaguars game, nobody knew where Jacksonville was. But now when you say Jacksonville, you say Jacksonville, Florida. I want to be in front of a radio or TV in October. Jacksonville, 35-20 over here. Because you're hearing Jacksonville say, even if we're losing, I don't want us to lose now. But you're still hearing our name every week. Just like you hear these names, these cities' names, like during baseball. You're going to hear about Atlanta. You're going to hear about New York. You're going to hear about Miami. I want Jacksonville to be up there with Charlotte, you know. And this is my city, and I've only missed three home games since the team's been here.
Yeah, but you see, Charlotte doesn't have a name in front of its teams. It's the Carolina Panthers. It was what they call the Hornets, Carolina Hornets.
No, they're the Charlotte.
They're
Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets. Okay,
don't
yeah,
you
they
think,
are. Yeah.
Don't you think though the Carolina thing really helped them in building a ticket base, because they were able to go down to South Carolina for their training camp.
Yeah, it was good for them. It was a good marketing point. Just
more
like
regional.
The Houston, Texas.
Yeah, from what I understand, their ticket base is overwhelmingly from right around Charlotte.
Well, I think that probably happens with most teams.
But you see,
think?
This team,
same
Mac
thing with
is
the Tennessee
right.
Titans.
Yeah. But Mac is right. This team, this city has the great luxury of having its name in front of its team. It's not the Minnesota Twins. It's not the Carolina Panthers. It's not the Florida Panthers. It's not the California Angels.
Sure.
It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it very easily could have been the Florida Jaguars. They could have gone the regional route. But they didn't do that. They went the municipal route. They gave this town, truly gave this town its own team.
Well, the most important thing about that, can you imagine what it would cost for in marketing to get the exposure that this city gets? from having a pro sports
team.
With the name Jacksonville constantly being on sports reports all around this nation.
You can't buy it.
And around the world, really, for that matter.
Because you can't access those places where it's said. You can't even buy it.
The amount of money and the benefit that the city can get and does get out of that, I mean, it is enormous.
The New Jersey Devils. All right? The New Jersey Devils.
They should call them the New York Devils.
Because there's so many there.
Call them the Newark Devils.
Hey, just for balance sake, for those people who think, it's not a big deal.
The Indiana Pacers.
What if, think about all the negative press that Jacksonville would get if this franchise doesn't succeed here. It would do more harm than the franchise did good.
The market's taken a big hit image-wise.
But it still has it. It still has the chance to rescue.
Oh, there's no question.
And that's why it's so important.
No question. Hey.
It's beyond just the
team. The media loves Cinderella stories.
Yes.
Turn this around and the media will jump on the bandwagon and good times will roll.
It is beyond, though, as Max said, just this team.
But he's right. I mean, you talk about 32 pieces of gold and you have one, and Charlotte can't say that.
No.
Name-wise, it can't say that. The Minnesota Vikings, name-wise, can't say that.
Well, Phoenix can't anymore since they changed it to the Arizona Cardinals.
Right. So, I mean, you know, there's a big market, a top 12 market like Minneapolis. It doesn't have its name on its team. But Jacksonville, 50th market, 52nd market in the country, it does.
Appreciate the phone call, Max.
They should change the name of the Cardinals to the Glendale Cardinals.
Yeah. Pretty stadium.
That's where they're at now.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, Phoenix is a pretty big market. I mean, they don't have a name.
And I'm not the biggest baseball guy. But
in the league?
Didn't the California Angels go, aren't they now the
Anaheim Angels.
Anaheim Angels, didn't they go to that?
Yeah, but
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
And years and years, they were the California Angels.
But I might be wrong, but I think once the new stadium is built in South Florida, they will be the Miami Marlins.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They should be. I mean, there's another pro baseball team in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be the Florida Marlins when you got another pro team over in the other side of the state.
Now you have a... Jacksonville was given a treasure. It was given something of immense value. Don't let it go away. No, don't do that.
355-NFL-1. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll grab some phone calls and continue on to the top of the hour when we'll pass it over to the folks at WOKV for news. Back after this. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Joe, are you serious? I mean, are you serious about this caller on line one?
Yeah.
Does he not know who he's talking to?
I think we should hear him out.
Did he not? Do you still have Bill? Is Bill there? I mean, can you play Bill
kiss
so that
it,
Richard?
Baby, kiss it.
So that Rich,
I can find him. Give me a second, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, before we put him on, we got to let him know what he's walking into. It's the Lions' Den, and I don't know that you want to walk into this one at this point, Richard. But we'll leave you on the line. See if we can get there. 355-NFL-1. Meanwhile, can we grab Tony?
Yeah, please.
In Middleburg. All right, Tony. Welcome to the program. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. Question for. For the ex-defensive end back there.
We say
your thoughts on Kyle Bosworth. I've read Vic's comments on him on Jaguars.com. I'd really like to see this kid make a showing. What do you think, Jeff?
I think he's got a chance, but I mean, I think he's definitely got a chance for practice squad. I think he's a long shot to make the team right now, but I mean, you never know. I mean, it's all going to depend on how he plays on special teams, but I will tell you this, Tony. I mean, I was one of the biggest Brian Bosworth fans that there ever was.
He's a cool guy.
I mean, Vic, this guy was bigger than life at the college level. Yeah,
I was, too. I saw it in the Big Eight.
I mean,
he dominated.
He wasn't very good in the NFL.
No. He wasn't very good in the NFL.
Does that happen? Top college players don't perform in the NFL?
But you got to remember one thing, Vic. He had major shoulder problems.
Mm-hmm, he did.
And that really kind of derailed his career. But, Tony, as far as what's Bosworth's first name?
Kyle.
He's one of a he's twins. Twin. There's Kyle and there's Corey. Corey's with the Broncos, who play here on opening day. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's another story. But I mean, if these two kids were to make their teams, they'll face each other on opening day. It's a cool story.
You know, with Brian Iwu being let go, you know, I think that opens the door, you know, of him having a chance at a roster spot.
Did you read the story I did on Kyle Bosworth?
I did read it.
An abusive father left when the twins were 3 years old, never saw him again, has no idea where he is.
Took his mother's maiden name because he, you know,
his mother's a Bosworth.
His grandfather raised him.
Right. His mother is the Bos.
Good story.
Brian Bosworth's sister. And, of course, his grandfather was Brian Bosworth's father, and he raised the two boys, the twins, with all the values that he raised the Bos. And it's cool stuff.
No, it's good stuff. And, you know, there's going to be a couple guys fighting for that spot. You know, Teddy Lehman's in the mix. Mm-hmm. Russell Allen, mm-hmm. I think, is going to be competing for a starting job. You know, so
people have forgotten about him. I mean, just because the conversation about the trade with Oakland, mm-hmm. you know.
Teddy Lehman was a second-round pick, Butkus Award winner, a second-round pick
another
of the
Oklahoma
Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You know, so
you got a lot of guys in the mix.
Tony, there's it's going to be a tough spot, but he's in the mix.
He's 240 and he runs well. Now,
and it's hard to tell
when the pads go on.
It's hard to tell, Tony. It's hard to evaluate a linebacker, you know, until they get pads on mm-hmm. because I mean, those are where that position can really distinguish itself. So we'll see.
Didn't hear a lot about him when during his college years, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, I'm excited about him. I'm excited about the offensive tackle from Marshall. I'm excited.
Baldridge.
Give me the names because I don't remember. I have all the names down yet. I'm excited about the undrafted tackle from Rutgers.
Haslam.
I'm excited about the defensive tackle from South Dakota.
Ketchman.
Cole Quorum. Yeah, it's a long name.
That's wrong.
Yeah, it's 98. Yeah. That's his name, 98.
When I say excited, I'm not sitting there going, wow, that guy's got super skills. But, I mean, when you watch him in, Vic would say, the underwear league, mm-hmm. I mean, you start to see some traits that you are encouraged by. But, obviously, you're not going to know until they put the pads on.
His name is Komonyan, K-O-M-M-O-N-Y-A-N, Quay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 98.
And then let me add one more to that, the safety.
Mm-hmm. Terrell.
Yes.
The kid from Norfolk State.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Terrell Whitewater?
Whitehead,
yeah.
And I wonder if he's related to Willie Whitehead, who played defensive line for the
Saints.
Don't
know. And there's also a corner from Central Michigan named Gordy who's pretty good.
Yeah. I've not gotten on his train
yet.
All right. Joe, Richard's still on line one. Would you just play for Richard, who can hear us at this point?
Not again.
Just play this reminder of what could happen with a caller gone errant.
Anything, whether you're right or not, it's not whether
Bill,
you're
it's
right.
Bill, it's what I said. It's not whether you're
whether
right.
Whether you're optimistic or not.
Well, yeah, Bill.
You're negative all the time, Vic.
Okay, Bill. See you, buddy.
I don't care whether you're right or not. You need to show a little darn respect and a little hope, man. You got to sell some tickets here.
Okay,
don't
Bill, please. You're going to make me cry here. Your positivity is just so negative.
So with that, we bring you on, Richard, and caution you to good luck, buddy.
Hello.
You're on the air. Oh, I don't think you heard any of that.
Poor guy.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead, Richard.
What you got,
buddy? How you doing today?
Good.
Outstanding.
Now, comment is, you know, if the Jags want to be to consistently sell tickets, they need to concentrate on, you know, regardless of talent, Florida, Georgia, and FSU players. Regardless of talent.
Richard, you absolutely are so far from being.
Come on, Jeff, take it easy.
Richard.
Yeah. I tell you what, they're a 500 team at best.
Who?
The Jaguars.
Well, in your opinion. Richard, when you say you take talent, regardless of talent, everybody just said that this guy has no clue.
Richard, so you're telling me that the Jaguars should take a defensive tackle from Florida State over Tyson Alualu just because he played at Florida State, whether he can play or not.
I've been saying this for years.
So they're going to sell. They're going to sell tickets. Wait a second, hold on, Richard. They're going to sell tickets. Whoa, stop! Hold on. They're going to sell tickets to a team with players who aren't good enough to play on the other 31 teams. How does that work? I mean, stop a second and listen to your own logic.
Well, you know, look at what the Jaguars have got now. They've got players that aren't capable of playing on the 31 other teams. Mm. I mean, they're a 500 team. They are a 500 team. If they're not, you know, tell me, you know, the last time they made the playoffs.
2007.
Yeah, okay. Did they move up? No.
Do you understand the National Football League?
This is a regional market. And you've
not
got,
a regional league.
You've
it's
got
not a regional
avid
league.
Florida fans here, avid Florida State fans here, avid University of Georgia fans here, and that's the appeal. Wayne Weaver is in the business of making money and selling tickets, and he's not going to sell them for some guy that came out of Oregon. It makes no sense.
That's it, buddy.
Because they're not going to make the playoffs anyway. It don't make no sense.
Well, you know, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I have no idea, but
well,
I don't
you have no idea,
Jaguars.
But you know the Jaguars aren't going to make the playoffs, but you
no.
don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, they might make the playoffs, but I doubt it. They haven't, you know, made the playoffs.
So now you're changing your opinion real quickly.
You know who he reminds me of? Who was the guy that I used to play for you guys that used to do the crank calls?
Oh, the guy out of Tulsa.
What was his name?
Oh,
come on.
He was on Roy
D. Mercer.
Richard, I swear you sound like Roy D. Mercer. Do you know who Roy D. Mercer is?
No, I do not.
Do you, you got a computer?
No,
I do not.
I do, but I'm not at it.
Okay,
right now.
Okay. Well, do me a favor. I'm dead serious.
You got running water?
You sound exactly like this guy by the name of Roy D. Mercer.
Who we cannot play on the air.
And I'm serious.
Okay.
Listen to Roy D. Mercer sometime.
Because this sounds like a setup.
I'm with you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
No, this is not a setup.
I mean, seriously, it sounds like a setup, doesn't it? Joe?
If it is, it's got to be Vic.
Did you have this gentleman call and say such ludicrous things?
No. This is not ludicrous at all. You know, we've got a regional market here. You've got avid Florida. You know, Florida's got, you know, the biggest fan base here.
Vic, you got about 45 seconds.
What Richard wants to do is he wants to turn Sunday into another Saturday.
Doesn't work.
That's correct.
That's right. No, Richard wants. I picked up on this very early in my move here. Richard is part of a faction of fans that want Saturday to happen twice a weekend.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it can, but it doesn't mean you draft local people.
But that's what he means by Saturday
well,
twice.
Well, if you want to sell tickets, it does. And Wayne Weaver.
No. Hey, Richard.
He wants to
tickets.
See the Gators play
Richard,
twice
you,
a weekend.
You want to sell tickets, you win.
Well,
I would agree with Jeff.
By making the statement that you draft somebody from a local college, regardless of talent, is crazy.
Florida has got wonderful talent. Georgia's got wonderful talent. Florida State's got wonderful talent.
So do all the other 1,000 schools across the country. Thank you, Roy.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.